This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I'm reading it in.
We love America.
I like that laugh.
La, la, la.
That tells me nothing about what
mental
the podcast
health
is about.
Not like myself included, I struggle with anxiety.
Amazing.
Sean.
That was Sean. Sean Mendez, when a woman that was interviewing him said, I struggle with anxiety. He says,
amazing.
Amazing.
And in its own way, it kind of is.
I think so.
Amazing.
When someone's like, I have ideation thoughts, I'm like, awesome. Amazing.
Yes, amazing. Good for you.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun. Thank you, Sean. Do you think Sean's a Christian? I haven't looked into this.
He's in a cult.
Is he in a cult?
That's what everybody is suspecting. But it's like one of those wellness cults.
Okay.
I could run one of those.
There's something about him that does scream like intense religious control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a face that says manipulate me.
Kind.
Which
kind.
Is he needs, awful to say about anybody, I guess.
Like, no,
I
it does seem like he needs it. Do you know what I mean? Like he needs the guidance.
Yeah.
He's almost ready to fly free. I feel like if I didn't know better, there feels like Mormonism.
Yeah.
There's a smell of Mormon.
There's
on
a layer
him.
Of like repression, something. Yeah.
But
or
like
blankness.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And like clean.
Mormons are like that. They like the Utah Mormons.
Gorgeous.
Very, very hot.
Yeah. Okay. Wait, strange. What were you going to say?
Well, just beautiful. Strange, like yeah. Doe eyed, but in a strange way, in a very uncanny valley way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like a caricature.
Yes.
Of
like a drawing of a woman.
A good-looking American.
Yeah.
Okay, at least in an interview in 2021, Sean said that listening to Christian worship music brought him to tears and felt like home.
Whoa.
He was listening to a gospel band called Maverick City Choir, which is like a true gospel sort of outfit. Kirk Franklin's collaborated with them a bunch. And says, it should be noted, Mendez never said he identifies as Christian. In fact, he told the podcast host he's also listening to Hindu mantras and experiences a similar feeling. Hmm. So he's all over the
map. All over the place. Well, also recently he was like posting his new musical like exploration, right? And it was like very...
That's a funny way to describe the song.
He was
what is he exploring?
It's hard to describe. Maybe you just need to listen to it. Maybe Kevin can pull it up for us.
Yeah.
But he was like...
I can pull it up for
us. I think he's going through like a transformation right now. And he was like, let me share with you guys what's going on. And so he posted this.
This is it. Yeah. Which I believe he's playing the instrument as a harmonium, which is one of those like pump pianos where you play the keys and then do this to the back of it. And then he's just going like, over it. Let's see if I can skip forward to
like
one of those.
Chanting an om like quality.
This feels like a Mosaic Hill song.
It does. Joint. It truly does.
God, we pray for this city.
Oh my God.
We ask you, Lord, come down on this place.
From the Lyles to the crocodiles.
Okay,
We asked for your
piece. Lyle Crocodile was a fun joint. All right, let's not shit on.
We saw it opening weekend together. We're on your side.
We agree. We love that the crocodile and the mom are in love.
It's
good.
It's
the sexual
really
tension palpable. But I do see what he means because we talked about this a little off pod. I am not a religious person, but I do listen to a lot of religious music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you failed to mention before.
Previously, because it is something about myself I keep fairly hidden.
And I understand that. But then when I text you, say like, hey, do you want to
go? Well, I guess that you thought, I don't know why I didn't bring it up. But then on my way here, I was like, oh, I like Christian music.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We should talk about it.
Well, we should talk about that. We're talking about Keith Green today. But before we do any of that, we need to introduce our very, very, very special guest. Friends and folks, she is a comedian. She is a writer. And by some accounts, she's a very good friend. Give her the hell up for Ellery Smith. One of those accounts would be my account.
I was going to say, by some accounts and then by other accounts.
By other?
Not so much us.
No, it's one of
my accounts. We're good friends because you're flexible about how much you need to see me.
Yeah. I can be like 6 months without, no problem.
Yeah, that has to be, that's very much me.
Someone who did, I'm stealing this from someone else I know, but they said like, oh yeah, sometimes with friendship, I'm a cactus. I don't need that much water.
That's me.
You said that?
No, I didn't say that, but I agree with that. Okay. I'm identifying with the sentence.
Yeah, might as well.
Claim it.
Who said that? Who am I thinking of? Anyway, but I thought that was a lovely, some people need like every day on the phone, blah, blah, blah.
That's too much for me.
I know.
I got a lot of going on. I also think I need a lot of alone time.
Yeah, which is good. Hey, Dex, you need some alone time right now?
What is that about?
Potential bird or squirrel.
Yeah.
Just the idea of it.
Just the idea of it. That's so sweet.
Hey, Ellery, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh my God, thank you for having
me.
After all these years.
I know. You feel like an old friend to the podcast. Caroline said as you were coming over, we've had her on before, right? I was like, no.
I mean, basically. In spirit. In spirit, I've been here before.
It's so wonderful. So I want to know how you grew up with religion at all.
I was totally secular. Okay. I've only been to a church probably twice, and I think they were both for funerals.
Okay.
But my mom grew up Irish Catholic and I think had a very bad experience in the church, and so we grew up never learning about any of it.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's why I can have a relationship with Christian music where I'm like, this is good, this slaps.
Because there's nothing associated with it.
There's nothing
you.
Associated
through
with
objectivity.
It. Yeah. So I get to be very much like, because some of it is so, like, I really do.
You're like a little Shawn Mendes yourself. You're like, you know what? I'm moved to tears by.
Not moved to tears, but some of it's like, do you know Stand on the World, the Word?
Stand on the Word.
Yeah, it was featured in the Righteous Gemstones. It was like their outro music.
Stand on the, this must be a gospel
song. It's like a 1989. Mm-hmm, yeah.
This is it.
It's so fun.
This is by the Jobert Singers.
Yes.
Ellery's raising her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is good. Yeah, this rocks.
See, we could do more stuff like this.
We could.
But then I also like folksy Christian music. This is like, this is bumping. This is get up and dance music.
Yeah.
But I also like,
this is in the club.
Yeah, this is, no,
we're
this
in the
is
club
the club
right now. This song
and
is
the club. And it goes
and
he's like, that's how the good Lord works.
Here, I'll skip forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really could do this more if we wanted
please,
to.
Kevin,
we just
please.
Haven't. Hey, you're allowed
today's
to.
Today's good.
You can say, do you want to do this?
You're allowed to. Thank you. I'd say in general, yeah, I'd like to talk about good music.
Oh, you guys only talk about bad?
Request.
Okay, but here's the thing.
It's a mix.
Today's is good
it's
music.
A mix. It's
today's
a mix.
Is, but it was so, it was good in spirit, loved some of the lyrics, but it was so derivative of Elton John.
I don't know what you mean.
So
Keith
I was
Green?
Like, I mean, exactly. It was like a copy, which is not my favorite. I also really like the song, Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
Oh, sure.
Will the Circle? Mm-hmm. That one.
No, keep going.
No, I'm such a bad singer. But Johnny Cash's band, The Nitty Gritties, does a really good.
His band was called The Nitty Gritties?
Or maybe he does, it's Johnny Cash and The Nitty Gritties. Maybe it's not his band.
I'm not familiar with this band.
But anyway, that's a version of the song that's really good. So fun.
Will the Circle?
Yeah, exactly. And that's like a little bit more like country folk.
Oh, sure. Yep. Here it is. The Nitty Gritty band. You were right.
Thank you.
I didn't doubt you. I do just
listen to it a lot.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. This is Will the Circle Be Unbroken.
About a gang of
Now, I can't tell if you like this kind of music, because this is so much of, like, quote-unquote good Christian music as well.
Yeah, I like this.
It's a little plick-pluck, you know.
A little love, a little plick-pluck.
It's giving a little
yee-haw. There, bow.
What do y'all think is the difference between yee-haw and hee-haw? Because it does feel distinctive.
There's hee-haw and yee-haw?
Yeah, there's, like, yee-haw energy, and then there's hee-haw energy.
Hee-haw is a farmer, yee-haw is a cowboy.
Yeah, I agree.
Holy
dead
shit.
Dead-on distinction.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just like
there
that.
There you go. Hay versus manure.
And there's also, what's interesting is a lot of Christian music, a lot of Southern Christian music is derivative of slave songs.
Sure. Yeah, old spirituals.
Old spirituals, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You like good gospel music.
Good gospel music.
Good gospel,
there's also...
Yeah.
Like Edwin Hawkins.
Classic
and
rock
like
and roll.
Yes, or who's the guy that does Old Man River?
Well, there's a lot of
old
people.
Man River, that old.
I think it was the old man. Started it.
It was.
It's well, like, I want to say his name is like Paul something.
Yes,
like,
Queen, it's Paul Robeson. Do you want to host this podcast with us? Jeez Louise.
Isn't this from a musical? Or they used it in a musical?
They used it in the Alvin Ailey dance. Maybe not. You don't know. But it might be in a musical too.
Okay.
Old Man River. Yes, Caroline. It's from the musical Showboat.
Oh.
There it is.
Music by Jerome Curtin. Oscar Hammerstein. Lyrics.
Oh, they made this up.
Or,
okay.
They made this
Most
up for that.
Most songs are made up. So they just made up
from,
a song?
This is from that musical? That. Like it was written for that musical?
That's what it says. It's a show tune.
That's crazy. Because it sounds like a true old, like, mm-hmm.
I also
classic.
Really love,
It would be like,
nothing.
It would be like someone like 100 years from now in 2124 being like, have you heard this song? This is actually
Defying
an anthem.
Gravity.
It's an anthem of the Great Depression. And it's like Rewrite the Stars from The Greatest Showman.
I mean,
it's like, that's what they had to sing to get through the hard times.
I get it. I get it. I also, Sam Cooke has a version of This Little Light of Mine that I listen to alone in my apartment a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, it's kind of sexy from my memory.
That's not the word I would use for it, but I appreciate that lens.
Well, how little
I guess
is this
maybe
light?
It's a little light.
I'm not wrong.
I'm gonna let it shine.
It's like a guy like shimmying over
this
to you.
Light mine.
Hey, you got a little light there too, lady.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh. Good.
And when I listen to this, when I start listening to this song, because there's the bookend, he starts and he ends with amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt very weird singing along to that part.
Why?
Because I'm
like
not,
it was appropriation?
Yeah, a little bit, because I'm not religious and I've never lived in church. But then I've been listening to that song for years and now I go in on those. I'm like, sure, amen.
Amen.
And
yeah, are you like channeling a little bit? You're like, what if I did like believe in God right now?
The older I get, the more susceptible I am to something like that.
Yeah.
The more Sean.
Amazing. I think we all get a little more sensitive as we get older. Too,
I think
right?
Maybe that's it. And I'm a little more wistful.
Yeah.
Less cynical than
less
your young,
cynical.
Hard years.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, you know, it would be nice. Like in this, the album that we listened to for the podcast, so much of it, he was talking about how nice it is to know that he'll always be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that is nice.
It is nice.
Like you always have a home with God.
That's right. But where's your home? Because like
Hollywood, California.
Well, I don't know if you're one of these LA people that believe in something, that believe in an energy, that say spiritual, not religious. I don't know what your flavor
is. No, I would consider myself, my spiritual is very actual. I like to think that God is like in the real world doing things for people. God is being like, is in community, being nice to each other. And so like when I do soup kitchen, when I like do volunteer stuff, when I go to comedy shows, when I make time like every 6 months to get breakfast with my friend Kevin, that's like me engaging in spirituality.
Yeah. Like human to human action.
Yeah.
And care.
Exactly.
Is a divine thing.
Yeah. And I think that's like the divine thing for me, at least.
And I think a lot of people who would call themselves evangelical Christian could agree with that too. As far as like, oh, these are like the works. These are like the manifestations.
Yeah. I also, everybody I know who's gotten into or started going to church or gotten into God later, I'm like, oh, you just like having a community.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
like,
it's
if you
totally
lived in a walkable
tribal.
Neighborhood, I don't know that you'd be going to church.
That is that.
There was a plaza in the area
no,
I lived
literally,
in.
Like, if you could walk
I wouldn't
to
need church.
Well, it's the exactly. third location, right? To use more it's sociological.
It's a third location, exactly.
So for that, and it is where you meet your friends yeah. or your husband or your podcast co-host.
Well, because 10 years yeah. now there are no third locations because everything is work or shopping oriented.
Mm-hmm. Or the library.
No public spaces, but
you
libraries.
Can't talk in there.
Well, that and they're also being defunded.
Yeah, that's true.
Not mine.
That would be such an interesting study. Is the sort of like churches per capita or the attendance rates
versus the walkability of a town? Yes. That's funny.
Because you think about the places it's popping off and it's Dallas.
Yeah.
Like suburban
mega churches. Mm-hmm. But if you think about where the church was first really popular, it was the center of town. Everybody could you could always see it. Everybody could walk there like medieval and after mm-hmm. churches. Mm-hmm.
And in medieval times when they'd sing Old Man River at the church.
Ooh, I still think that's from. River.
Is that appropriation? A musical, I guess it's appropriation.
A musical. It is of a certain kind. I do love when that line in that song where he's like, he must know something but won't say nothing.
If that ain't me.
Hits,
that
like,
ain't God.
If that was me watching Showboat in the 1920s, I'd be in the front row being like, literally me.
Literally you.
Pointing at the
stage.
People
are like, what is that? That guy's okay, having a psychotic break.
Me?
Tag yourself.
I'd say it's giving me tag yourself. They'd be like, this man's having a breakdown. Tag yourself.
1920s asylum.
Yeah. On your way. The sanatorium
but I
now.
Do think that line is very God because it's like he must know something. But so it's like that idea that how can a God exist if there's so much wrong in the world? So it's like he must know something, but he doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
I like when I listen to that song, that's what
he
I
knows
hear.
It's wrong, but he's not doing anything about
or,
it.
Or yeah, he's just like he's keeping the world's secrets, you know?
Oh. He's sort of a mischievous little bugger, isn't
that's
he?
That's a really funny
wow, keeping the world's secret.
I said bugger. I almost said booger.
Booger.
A bit.
Yeah. Which do you think is more affectionate? Like, oh, you little booger.
I think there are evangelicals who would be mad at both.
Yeah, I guess so. Any disrespect.
We do not say booger in this house.
In this house. We had a list. My mom wrote down a list of words that we were not allowed to say.
List them.
Well, some
are
of
you
them,
allowed to say them now?
Some of them, it's good that we weren't allowed to say.
Oh. And she wrote them
some
down?
Some of them, progressives would agree, that's a slur.
Oh, good. Okay, yay.
She like wrote it out so you guys knew how to spell it.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Had, you had it on a sign in your house.
Like, if you have to spray paint this somewhere, at least spell it right.
Practice your penmanship. And if you write this word out, just say, don't say before as a prefix. Yeah, so that was our sort of language education growing up. Wait, so like your theology of life or your worldview, your perspective, would you define as like agnostic, atheist, open to whatever, doesn't matter?
Maybe agnostic or open to whatever, but I think it's firmly grounded in the real world, like the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like, sure, maybe I'd like... The metaphysical world, maybe something exists, but that just doesn't seem like my business. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's so...
It's one of my favorite phrases of yours.
It's Sean's business.
None of my business.
It's none of my business. No, it is Sean's business.
It is Sean's business. But he's like that kind of guy that like goes digging. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He wants to go looking for
he
it.
He goes looking for answers. Answers come to me. You know, I
whoa.
Don't... I try not to look too hard for anything
never
like that.
Never had a question you couldn't answer.
I've never had a question to begin with, you know?
Are you as a person on the exact opposite end of the spectrum of Sean Mendes? Are you his like his tethered in a way,
warrior,
his bizarro.
I think actually we have a lot. Like to me, I'm like we look alike. I see that.
I don't know if I quite see that.
When I look in the mirror, I see like a 6'2" man.
I'm looking at him right now. Wait, can you just sing real quick? Like he's singing in the
yeah, that would help. I'm not quite seeing it. But yeah,
we're trying.
Similar, yeah,
we're trying.
Maybe our vibe
is
yeah,
there.
So.
Our vibes are there.
Like, could be in the same family for sure.
Yeah, no one would kick you out of the family gathering. Okay, well, great. I want to talk about this album now.
Yeah,
let's get into it.
But before we do that, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of... taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
feel
like
feels incredible as to, you could feel
to exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day,
exactly
working 9 hours a day on top of that, and then
good
going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%.com/goodchristianfun.
You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic. Come on, let's go. Okay. So we talked about some Christian music that you were into, just like a song here and there, this song, Old Man River, this song from Righteous Gemstones. Was there anything else, the This Little Light of Mine by Sam Cooke? And Caroline, wouldn't you know, Bruce Springsteen has a great version.
Oh,
of This Little Light of Mine? Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not much of a Bruce fan, but can I hear that version real quick?
Well, I guess if our guest is asking, it would be rude.
I just want a taste.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love the Sam Cooke version really is so, so important.
Well, this
to
was
me.
Like top 40 when Bruce was in his
20s. Right? Okay.
Really? He's actually a co-writer yeah. on the original.
Oh, he wrote it.
So he gets royalties yeah. for it.
He broke it.
Charles, bring us home.
So this is more like.
I'm going to let it shine.
Too upbeat.
Immediately.
No. Doesn't this rock, guys?
Does that speak to you?
No, it doesn't speak to me either.
What feels like the cognitive dissonance?
It just is, I don't know. There's like a, it's not connecting. It's almost too circusy. It's like,
it's too circusy.
It is like, too circusy.
Here come the elephants.
Yes, it's very here come the elephants.
It's like, technically, I know this is like New Orleans. But it's a white man doing it, and it's hurting.
It's not New Orleans enough. Like, he's not committing to it. It is giving Ringling Brothers.
It's like outside of New Orleans, there's a circus that no one wants to go to. Yeah, and y'all are at the circus.
Or it's like somebody listened to a bunch of New Orleans funeral music and then was like, how can I monetize
this? Can I do the impression of this?
Yeah.
I think if I were seeing this live, I would probably be clapping along.
Sure.
I'd probably be into it.
But I think...
That's him singing. he has a higher register. Anyway.
Fun for fans of Bruce.
Yeah. I do think a lot of this music connects way more when you're in person and you're like feeling it.
Yeah. This would be of great energy.
Is that
positive enough?
I'm not asking for positivity. I'm asking for honesty and transparency. As we do so often in the church. There is one. You know, there's these bands that have officially released concerts that you can subscribe to this thing that's like a Spotify, but just for like, if you want to listen to every Phish show, you can download November 19th, 2013 and listen to Phish. And you can do that with Grateful Dead and other. And Bruce has that as well on the same website. And they just released this concert from 2013 where he opens with This Little Light of Mine and he closes with This Little Light of Mine. So he's like, one
more
time. It was
so nice. We had to do it twice.
Oh, that's fun. There are some artists where I'm like, yeah, I'll hear that one twice. Especially if it's something they really love to do and it's fun.
I like when Vampire Weekend played A-Punk 4 times in a row at that music festival.
No, see, that does not connect with me at all.
but you know, like other sorts of reprise and encores, things
like
that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Was there any other like Christian pop culture that you experienced in... Maybe not even your upbringing, but you're saying you came to it more in your adulthood. Or...
Yeah, I mean, not really. My connection to it is pretty much just the music.
Did you have like Christian friends or like religious friends at all?
I had friends who went to Sunday school and like who got confirmed, I guess. But that was so, I didn't see any of it. So I didn't know that it happened. You know what I mean?
I didn't see any of it.
It was so out of my purview.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
You have questions.
I have questions. I went to more bat mitzvahs growing up than I had experience with Christian or Catholicism, which is funny because my mom is Catholic.
Yeah.
And has like, you know, still rocks the cross iconography.
Oh.
And she rocks it.
Yeah.
And you have seen that.
And I have seen that.
You said like your mom had a bad experience. Like, how did you pick that up? Was it just like a comment she'd make here and there, or she'd sit you down and she was like,
"No,
Ellery,
we never ever talked about it." Okay. As is the Irish tradition, we never talked about it. But the fact that she was raised that way, and then for us, it was like radio silence on it. Like, never entered a single church. I'm like, okay,
that's
probably
said enough for you.
Or it was like maybe she was just so fucking bored the whole time. She was like, "I'm not gonna go back." And then my dad's family wasn't religious at all.
Okay,
so.
Wow.
But I'm pretty grateful for it because now I feel like I can interact with the artwork, the content, as it were.
Yeah. And there's so much artwork to interact with.
I mean,
and that's kind of the beauty
of this podcast. From a religious perspective, yes.
Yeah.
There's
a
lot of religious art.
It used to be that religious art was the art.
Exactly.
And now it's like, that's kind of the opposite of what it is. Yes. Unless it's like Sound of Freedom, obviously, which we're huge fans of.
Interesting.
But
on this podcast.
I don't even know. Like, for me, I'm like, that is so... The religious aspect of it seems so secondary. Like, I think that it is funny to see, and I haven't really threaded this needle yet, so stick with me, but like, it almost seems like religion in America has shattered into two pieces, specifically like evangelicalism, where it's now a political stance and the actual like religious tenets have fallen away or are oft ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a widely accepted
idea.
Proposition.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many, especially the 2016 fracture point being like, it's undeniable. It was pretty evident beforehand, and now it's very undeniable, where it's like, the sort of like cartwheels and gymnastics you have to do of like this Christian man we're electing president is like so funny.
Yeah.
Both equally. Mm-hmm. That's when someone asks, which testament do you like more, the Old Testament or the New? He was like, both equally. That was his answer.
Yeah. I feel like there were perhaps times in American church history where it was like, oh, the principle was the guiding thing. And like we would weed people out for not being moral enough for this or not having this kind of background or whatever. And then eventually it kind of just became a retroactive thing where, yeah, like, well, we kind of have the principle, but we'll just pick anybody that's strong enough to like move it forward. It doesn't really matter if they're like a good family man or, sure, like don't, yeah, do drugs.
It's also interesting how like the role of the church in the community and how it in its sort of best iteration is the community support system. And now it has turned the opposite way where it seems like mega churches take from the community. They take that tax, you know.
It's a business.
It's a business. It's a tax-free, yeah, business. Mm-hmm. You know, Joel Osteen not letting people in sleep in his church during Hurricane Katrina, that sort of thing.
You used, yeah, to intern for him.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Summer of 2009. Yeah, because I grew up in Houston. So it was a media internship.
What did you do for him?
I taught him how to spell anniversary, famously.
Is that true?
He was signing someone's Bible that was a devotional Bible by him and Victoria, his wife. And the guy was like, it's for our anniversary for my wife. And he, on the set, he said, how do you spell anniversary? This is a New York Times bestselling author. And
I couldn't spell you anniversary right now.
Could you could.
Yeah.
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 Let's do it together.
A-N-N-I-V-E-R-S-A-R-Y.
And I did that to Joel and he said, S-A-R-Y. I said, yeah. And that's what I remember from that.
S-A-R-Y.
That's a Bush impression.
S-A-R-Y. Freedom. Yeah. Well, it was all the same to me. I had just like hearts in my eyes for all of them.
Oh, that is so crazy. That's so crazy. I do feel like because I wasn't raised religious, I never had to unlearn all that stuff.
Sure.
Which I feel like was very helpful for me. I got enough on my plate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got enough going on.
I have enough,
yeah,
stuff to work
a
through.
Major time waster, yes, I
actually
to say.
Do really think that like religious trauma, unlearning religious trauma, woof.
Woof.
Yeah, it's like.
Could have done a lot of other stuff with that. I could have learned Spanish.
Yeah, man, that's a good survey question.
It's like, sewing.
What could you have learned for the hours that it took to unpack all of this and distance yourself in a healthy way? Where it's like Duolingo streak would have been crazy.
Incredible. Or like, what could I have learned too if I wasn't at like spending hours of my week going to church, driving to church, volunteering at church, and then going to like small group as well?
How long?
Small group, I actually think was valuable because that was like valuable. The best
that was,
part because I was just making stuff. Friends.
Yeah. How long were you in the church for?
Oh, well, my whole life. And then like probably up until, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We were just driving through Hollywood the other day, and that's where our old church was. We're
Which
like,
one?
It's called Reality LA. It's where Kevin and I met. It's where my husband and I met.
Really?
It was all of our meet cute, too.
Big, like, kind of cool church at the time.
Yeah.
And I was going there in college, which meant I was waking up at 7 a.m. on Sundays and then driving, like, half an hour carpooling with my friends to go to a two-hour church service where, like, the sermon was an hour.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Like, it was just so much time. I was in college. Like, mm-hmm. I had better things to do, like sleeping. And I was just there. I was like, that's crazy. I really went for it. Anyway.
I was telling Caroline, I almost said off mic, but no, it was on mic. I was going through all these old, like, I've been diving through all of my digital history, basically, and looking at old text messages and things from, like, 10 years ago. And some of our first texts, which I have to find and send to you, from, like, December 2013 or something. They're so funny to look at. But the amount of time that it spent talking about, like, hey, are you volunteering on Sunday and doing this? It's so funny.
Yeah.
It took up a lot of time.
A lot of time.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was not valueless because of what you're, because of the.
No.
But it would have been maybe if we didn't continue with each other. Mm-hmm. Because we all kind of left at the same time.
Oh, really?
It felt like, at least for our little pocket of people.
Yeah. Did you talk about it at the time or did you come
gradually.
To after and you were like, yeah, we all left? Or were you like...
It was gradual. It wasn't like we all held hands and jumped off the cliff together. It was more like... Yeah.
You petered off.
Yeah, it was a lot of petering. And then once you get to the other side, being like, well, that was crazy.
That is crazy.
Uh-huh.
So.
That is so... I almost... It's hard for me to wrap my head around. I can't really comprehend it. To me, I'm like, is that like going to the gym? You know what I mean? I'm like, I was gonna say in my mind it's so errand based or chore based.
Uh-huh. Right. But that felt purposeful and you could be useful to other. The thing I do miss about it is like for people without children to have regular interactions with kids, I think is good. Yeah, and just like intergenerational. So obviously there's other ways to do it. There's other ways to volunteer. But being in a space where it's like, I liked volunteering with the kids and like helping out with that stuff. And there's like fewer opportunities on a regular basis.
For an adult man to hang out with children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that being around kids is a skill that gets sharper or dull the more or less often you do it. So like I famously am a nanny. Anytime I go too long without picking up a nanny gig, I have to get back into the swing of like, okay, I'm not around my friends. Mm-hmm. Or I run a volunteer day and it's a lot of adults around our age. And then every so often there's a kid and they could be, the youngest we have is fifth grade. The oldest is like 15, 16. And without fail, every time I have to give all of my because they're like comedian types. I have to be like, guys, a kid is coming in today. Like,
yeah,
behave yourselves. And inevitably, one is always like, fuck, up, whoop. And I have to be like, guys, like, I know that they probably know that word, but let's just not have them hear it from us.
Yeah, I know. I need to be around kids more, which is like why I like going home so much is being around
a lot of kids
and nephews. You know, being around five kids.
Your family's still religious?
Yes.
That's why they're pumping them out.
Oh, they're pumping them out. It's a factory over there.
I mean,
yes, they are. They are still religious, but no conflicts as of recently. With
no, I don't think there would be.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's a little live and let live right now. There's a detente with it, I think. But you know who else was religious, guys?
That's gonna do it.
Keith Green.
I think he was faking it to make so he could make some money off this album.
Whoa,
you. Okay. Really?
Shots across the bow really? Right away.
I mean, not really, but a little bit. Because I was looking at the album and I was sort of like, you don't feel it. I didn't feel it.
Are you?
It felt like it wasn't coming from the soul.
So here's what's so funny. And we've talked about him a little bit before, but just as a refresher, he had a very short career because he had a very short life. He died tragically at the age of 28 years old with his, I believe his daughter in a helicopter.
Oh my God.
Over their property in Texas. But
he also looked so old on the cover art. I was like, this is a 45-year-old.
Well, guys just looked like that.
20s. Yeah, guys just looked like that.
So this is
back when you could smoke inside.
His debut album For Him Who Has Ears, released in 1977. He's pointing a little finger up. What do you think that means?
Is that finger
up to the big guy?
Yeah, is it like to the big guy? Him who has ears.
I thought it was just like, oh, I have something to say.
Or he's like,
he's like tapping into the conversation.
He's or like, he's like, do you know where this finger's been?
Wait, is he pointing at his ear now that I'm looking at it?
No, he's just pointing so up. He's hair. Pointing up at God.
I think you're right. I think he is pointing
famously,
up at God.
Famously, For Him Who Has Ears is a Rorschach test of an album cover.
Yeah, it is.
It's either he's pointing his ear, pointing at God.
What's he thinking?
He's waving his little fingy around,
he's
scolding
saying,
the audience.
Shout out to the big guy.
Like, ah, ah, ah. No, no, no. You can't do that. I love why. So he was like a little teeny bopper child star, like wannabe performer and musician.
So like religious pivot.
Kind of
a Justin Bieber of his time. He was signed to a record label when he was 11.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's not good.
He was born
that is godless.
That's dark side.
He was born Jewish and his wife was Jewish as well before they converted to Christianity. Yeah. And
what the hell?
It was the sort of like very, at the time, run-of-the-mill conversion story of the 70s and the Jesus people in Southern California stuff, which is we were so fucked up on drugs and we were looking for transcendence. And then we got so fucked up, we went to the other side and it was crying. And then it's like, no, we don't do any of that stuff. And we'd see and blah, 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 in the Arab race. But it's his intensity and why I find it so funny that your takeaway too about like he might have been faking it. Is he, by official accounts of like his friends, the people he worked with, and his wife, was so intense in a way that is fairly typical of people who come to faith later in life rather than they were raised with it. So they were kind of like, you know, that was the air they breathed from but almost as a late in life pivot that they kind of go extremist and like, well, we have to do something about all this and you're doing your life wrong and so are you and so are you and I got to do this and we have to really believe in this. So everyone talked about how just super intense he was about everything all the time and how he fashioned himself sort of a prophet in a way.
Okay, I'm like, we need to be churning out better music if that's I really do think, I'm like, the prophet is not copying Elton John. He's got his own, he's got something new to say.
That would work for me. That would get me in.
Is what?
Wouldn't just get me in the door.
Copying yeah. Elton John.
An Elton John copier. I'd be like, well, I guess I do love God.
I know. It is so fun. And I found some old clips of him. There's one, I think he's on the 700 Club, or no, it's called the Daisy Club in 1982. God, so this is
I forgot about the 700 Club.
This is from, this might be from the year he passed away, but he's introing the I Can't Believe It song. And you can kind of see, he was like a little cutie pie too. Like, I know he looks old on the album cover, but I think because of like performing from a very young age, he had a sort of deeply bred natural charisma that he's very easy on stage. So like, as far as the like evangelist idea and those things and the things people say of like, you either become a youth pastor or a comedian, you know, where it's
dude,
like
that
sort of charisma you can direct one way or the other.
The evangelical to comedy pipeline is so, I know 5 or 6 comedians who used to be evangelical Christians and are now comedians. Yeah.
You got to put it somewhere.
You got to put it somewhere. Yeah. You got to put it somewhere.
Wow.
So here's a little clip of a young 28-year-old Keith Green introing his song, I Can't Believe It.
You always wonder what you're going to say between songs, and then you open your mouth and the Holy Spirit starts to speak. And the Lord has made me so excited about one specific thing, that most people sitting in this audience, and a lot of the people that are out there behind the cameras, love the same person who put the fingerprints on my hand and put the fingerprints on theirs. That's the neat thing about fingerprints is from far away, they all look alike. You get up close, they're
I've
all
always
different.
Said that. I've always said that.
To the world, Christians all look exactly alike. And he's got this big sick smile from ear to ear. Makes me sick. What they got to be so happy about? Don't they pay taxes?
Nice.
You know, it's got to be phony, man. They must be taking some dope somewhere. Smoking Bibles. I know what they're doing.
what
are they
said.
Putting in the wafers nowadays? Well, I'll tell you. Some people come up to me sometimes. They go, Keith, what's it you got? Where can I buy some?
That happened all the time.
He's got God.
It was free. See, it's God. You're not one of those. Uh-oh. You know, when you tell somebody about Jesus, they go, oh, man, this guy's flipped his lid, man. He belongs in the loony bin. And the thing about Jesus is that he promised every Christian that that's where they'd be. Not in the loony bin. But they'd be laughed at. Because nobody got laughed at more than him. And you're pretty good company when you get laughed at. That doesn't mean...
I think there's other people that did get more laughed at than Jesus. I think like medieval jesters.
I don't know, maybe.
Cookie Monster,
Elmo. Do we want to take a moment of silence for Elmo?
What, is he okay?
He all right?
Well...
He's bounced back.
We don't want to like joke about violence ever on the show, but he was attacked the other day on like, TV.
He was. And, I find Larry David Stick so tired.
You think so?
I really do.
Well, he's probably tired too. He's like 89
I'm sure he
now.
Is tired. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, stop complaining.
Yeah.
Girl, let's say, but do you find Keith Green Stick tired? Or
I
do you find
do.
It so fresh?
But I think two things where I'm like, I get it. I get why people are into it. And then I'm also like, sing the fucking song. I'm like, get to the point. And this is something I noticed about his music. I'm like, it really lacks teeth. Like it's to me, I think some religious music can be so radical in its thesis. Mm-hmm. And this is so not radical music. It's very standard. It's almost milk toast.
Sure. Well, because it is any time that you're filling like a hole. Were we talking about filling holes on the podcast the other
right.
day?
Yeah.
Weren't we?
Yeah, we were.
We're like, Christianity is about filling holes.
Yeah. No, but it is.
Did I dream about this?
Get your holes filled.
Yeah. Yeah, it's where you come to get your holes filled. I think, yeah. That's
Wait, what were you about to say, though?
I was what it's meant about.
Don't get lost in the holes.
I know. It's hard. I'm like Louis Sachar over here. But it is something where it's like, it's a specific market of like, you guys like this thing, right? You like this Elton John thing. I also felt a little, I think we talked about this before too, like a little musical theater. Like it does kind of.
Very musical theater. Very performative.
It reminds some of the songs.
But Elton John's music is radical because he's gay. And he's like talking about being gay and he's like flamboyant and it's radical because he's like having fun and he's saying something, and this is sort of like it gets so lost in itself.
Well, I think it's an extreme emotion sometimes that he's expressing in terms of his like sorrow. But you're right. It's not a socially radical thing that he's propagating, but it's like extreme emotionally, I think, sometimes to the point where it's like not fun to listen to. Like, what is it? The song to my parents. That's like, oh my God. Like,
oh, yeah.
Chill out. There's what this like, this track 8 song to my parents, parentheses, I only want to see you there. And it's basically
this one,
like,
I'm like, I get it.
You get it.
Well, no, you finished what you're about to say.
Well, just that he's saying, I don't want you to go to hell, and I'm doing my best, and I know we disagree. It's almost one of those confessional things that sometimes you appreciate a person's vulnerability in their art, and then sometimes it's like, this is actually too much.
I don't want to look at it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's actually hard to behold.
But I do understand wanting to see your parents in another realm.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like being able to, especially if you have dead parents or a parent that's passed away, to be like, oh, it would be so nice if I could see you again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please
if
try.
You don't go to hell first.
Yeah. And that's what I say to my parents every time I hang up on the phone. Please try and overlook my human side. I know I'm such a bad example. And you know, I'm so full of pride, but Jesus isn't like that. No, he's perfect all the way. And then the perfect rhyme. I guess that's why we need him, because by ourselves, there's just no way.
So true.
So he does run way with way.
At least I'm not gay.
Looking at, yeah, it's the anti-Elton.
Okay.
It's straight Elton John.
I also think that there was an opportunity there, and I thought this when I was listening to it, a missed opportunity for a slant ride, rhyme between pride and time.
Wow. So what would that sound like?
Perfect
real quick?
All the time.
Oh, okay. Perfect all the time. To pride. Oh, I see. Yes.
Kind of a fine line with, like, when these Christian singers are talking about themselves as a representative of God, as like a either convincing or not convincing way to like come to God. Like I was just thinking in that lyric, like in other songs, he's like, look at my life. Don't you want to be a Christian because of how I have changed? Mm. And then in this song, he's also like, but don't use me as an example, because obviously it's not convincing. I'm very prideful or whatever. Like, but you know, God is a lot better than me. But like, you know, don't look at me as like the way to whether or not you want to be there. And it's like, what's allowed to be an example of like God's transformation in your life? And then what's allowed to be like, well, I'm still human, you know, and I'm going to fail or whatever, but I am a Christian and like you should just love Jesus too because of not because of me.
It is interesting how much of religion is FOMO, where it's like one of my favorite religious songs is Swing Low, Sweet Cheerio. And that line where the
Sweet Cheerios, the cereal?
Sweet Cheerio. And when they're like, if you get there before I do, tell all my friends I'm coming after you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all of your friends are hanging out without you because they're with God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it is it's eternal FOMO.
Yeah.
Is what you're talking
truly
about.
Truly eternal.
It
yeah.
does animate so much of the Christian lifestyle of, yes, the sort of dangling carrot at the end of the stick of like, well, you want to spend eternity with your friend Caroline, right?
Right. Because it's not super convincing to be like, hey, you're going to have to forego like probably a lot of your friendships and like probably a lot of the activities you like to do just that are normal and fun, like going to a bar. You're going to have to forego a lot of your time because we will need to see you on Sundays for several hours a day. But like, it's all going to be worth it because otherwise like it's a lake of fire or it's like a reunion forever in heaven. Yeah. So you have to like really convince people that the reunion in heaven forever is like
gonna
super
be so
worth
fun.
It or hell is like very scary.
The sweet or, by yeah. and by.
I also like that line in Amazing Grace that it's like, 'twas grace that taught my heart to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm with God. I'm with God.
I like that.
Yeah.
Taught my heart to feel.
I actually don't think, I think I might be... I don't think that's the line. Hold on. Because I think...
What was it? What if it's 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear?
It is.
Is it?
It is. And I remember looking that up and being like, actually, Christianity is so fucked. And I'm like, my interpretation of it was so beautiful.
So nice.
And I'm like, no, but now you all live in... Sorry, I'm screaming.
No, you're good.
I'm like, now you all live in fear.
Yeah, it's like, teach me how to feel. Oh, fear. Oh, okay.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Because I was like, oh, it's opening your heart up to God. But then I'm like, oh, no, you're supposed to be terrified.
Yeah, your interpretation was more of an Evanescence flavor of wake me up inside.
No.
Which is like, teach me how to feel.
No, but it was more like, before I met Grace, and I get this because it's like you encounter grace in your life, right? Somebody holds space for you, you do something wrong, you're forgiven, whatever, and then your heart opens up and you experience sort of a broader range of what's possible in your interpersonal relationships and sort of in the world at large.
Yeah.
And so like that for me, that was like, oh, that's what that line means. And then I was wrong and I went back and it taught your heart to fear. And I'm like, that is actually such a twisted thing to say.
But you know, the next line after that was grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. So it's both, I think, within that song. So it's like, don't actually have to be afraid of anything. Maybe it's talking about the fear of God.
Right. Because isn't it? Are you guys supposed to be, not you guys, but
there's like an old timey definition of fear of God where it's like almost like reverence and respect, not like literally like I'm scared of him. Yeah. Like more like awe.
Yeah. The fear, like when you see the Grand Canyon or something, that it's more adjacent, yes, to awe.
Like something bigger than me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you could fall into and die mm-hmm. if you don't.
Yeah. But I don't know if you're in Amazing Grace that's that fear or not, because I don't know what that
is. I'm just going to keep singing my version.
I am too.
Yeah.
Joan Baez has a really good cover. We all should.
Amazing Grace, Ellery's version.
Yeah.
So many of the songs on this album reminded me of like a part in like a musical from the 70s where they meet a guy by the junkyard. He's like, well, let me tell you something about how this world works.
It was sort of giving, yes.
There's a lot of crazy ideas out there.
This one I kind of fucked with. I was like, okay.
He'll take care of the rest.
Oh, yeah. I was just looking at that. I like this one.
Well, yeah. He's playing around. It's very explicitly honky-tonk.
Very honky-tonk.
Not validating.
It's a little Joseph's Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah.
What's the one? The Age of Aquarius? Is that, you know that one?
Hair. Yeah. And then God spells like Christian hair, basically. Like, you could totally, like, here's my thing. Let me tell the cast what they're supposed to believe. Now. It's so that is what it felt like. It also has the either.
This one kind of, I'm sorry. This one goes off.
It's good.
I was too harsh.
He's picking up.
It has either the impeccable or unforgivable wordplay. He is divine and we are D branch.
I mean, amazing.
Oh,
I also
nice.
Love the idea that he takes care of the rest.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I wish he would.
He hears your prayer of like, it's none of your business, but it's my business.
Oh, and I'll God, take care of that. Just take care of the rest.
Hey, does the little guy look super scary right now on the couch?
He's fine.
He's super scary.
As we're rolling back for just a little
he's
bit.
So okay. Sweet.
Yeah, he's a sweet guy. Okay. Oh, my gosh. And then when I hear the praises, track 4, also, this reminded me, I keep thinking of things through this lens of like the end of the year banquet at high school, and it's all the pictures from senior year.
Oh, I see.
Like choir together. And someone comes to the front of the stage and takes the mic, and there's a little spotlight on them. And we're just going through our memories of what
happened.
You're
writing a movie for this guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a.
This was the most Elton John on the album.
Mm hmm.
And I was also, there's a little Queen in here, too.
Yeah. Or a big Queen.
The band.
Yes. Yeah, I took it to mean that. Bohemian Rhapsody, but it's about Keith Green.
Nobody would know.
But it's still directed by Bryan Singer.
I think we got to talk about Satan's Boast.
Yes.
This is one of the rare songs where an artist will embody the devil himself.
It's common that they embody God, where it's like, I'm your father, I love you, as a songwriter exercise. It's rare that it's like, I'm Satan, actually. I'm a little fucked up.
And like you do, you're normally when you bring Satan in, Satan goes off.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Satan's pretty fun. It's like, wait, is Satan cool as hell? This is making the opposite point that you meant. Yes.
I know we keep like harping on this, but even like the vocal effect they're doing on it sounds like an Elton thing they do in.
Oh,
like
definitely.
A reverb or whatever. I don't know, doubling. Anyway, mm-hmm. I love it.
Oh, have you heard that God is dead? I made that one up myself. They dabble in magic spells. They get their fortune thread. So the sort of vague new age stuff and spirituality outside.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all
that
like
so...
Satan's sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm,
like, I do love.
That was me.
Did you hear God is dead? I made that one up myself. Mm-hmm. That is a bar.
I love that.
That goes so hard.
Anytime... In fiction, people take world events and then dramatize them for like, actually, it was this thing that I care about most that was responsible for it. Like in that, did you see the Eternals, Caroline?
Yeah.
You remember when the Brian Tyree Henry character was like, actually, Hiroshima was my fault. And he goes to the rubble and he's like, that was my bad. Because I gave humans technology. I love that.
I was...
But I'm also like, that so one, dark. We actually have names of people whose fault that was.
Right.
Like people have already, there's a whole 3-hour movie about whose fault that was.
Well, it's just so, it's such a, I think narcissistic is the wrong word, but it's such a self-centered like way to look at world events and yeah. things of like, actually, it was about this. Or the funny version would be like in the other two when Wanda Sykes said, I created January 6th to distract from your album being so bad when it came out. We needed something to like draw attention.
No, that's a good manager.
Right? No, that's the manager that we need. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it the album kind of vacillates between like funky little get downs, like Because of You, which is almost like disco, too.
Well, this one is closer to Stand on the Word, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's not pop, but maybe it is disco. It's like, it's get out of your chair and dance music, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or dance in your chairs, we've been so want to do on the show. And definitely part of the thing he was talking about in that little clip where he's like, there's something different about this guy.
Right.
This is, we got to come up with like a shorthand name for this kind of narrative because this is so much of what evangelical Christianity propagates through these narratives is you're going to be so awesome by being a Christian, just like holistically, not like you're preaching the gospel all the time, but it's the quote, preach the gospel, use words when necessary. The Mother Teresa quote, I think, where it's like the idea is you are so amazing. Your vibe, your aura that you give off is so attractive to other people. Everyone's going to be like, Caroline, what's that thing? What makes you so special?
Yeah.
And then you get to say,
it's like not like other girls, but for Christians. And then, but it's also like that. It's like, well, either people will be like really attracted to you and I'll be like, what's your magic? Give me a piece of that.
Or
they'll make fun of you relentlessly and like cast you out of the town. And either outcome is acceptable and a normal result of you being a normal Christian.
Yeah, it's like either I came to bring a sword or there's going to be like something a little bit different about this.
Yeah, everyone's going to
want peace.
I feel
that way about being sober where it's like sometimes people are like, wow, you look so healthy.
Yeah.
So they see something in you that they wish that they had.
But they won't do it.
But they won't do it.
Yeah. Or they're like, why? Or yeah, like, oh, exactly. I can't relate to you anymore.
But what's interesting about, I think, like the being a Christian and people making fun of you or casting you out of town or whatever is that then you get to be righteous and be like, well, they hated Jesus too. And so it reaffirms your belief that
you're a little martyr moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which I think is very powerful.
Well, it's weirdly, by no accident, I think, linked into some conspiracy theory thought pattern where it's like any information counter to the pre-existing like kind of calcified narrative gets folded into it where it's like you're being mean by discriminating against queer
That's
people
the devil
or women
trying to
and then it's like Christ said we would be despised and hated and this is what's happening as if there's like no other explanation
or like upsetting people is proof that it's true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Definitely I see that.
Or it's like, here's these 10 facts that say there's not like cow dung in vaccines. It's like, that's George Soros media, that's what they want. Of course it's on the website, you know. It's like that in a lot of ways.
That's so the Venn diagram between like religious people and conspiracy theories, I get why they overlap, but I still find it strange.
How so?
Because I don't know. I guess maybe you can't have both where you're like, because the Bible is not fact. And if you're willing to believe the Bible, then you might be willing to believe other things that aren't fact. But I'm like, there are so many good and interesting things about religion that I'm like, do we have to add in? Like, can't you just take the highlights and leave the rest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're trying, man.
I guess. The other thing is it's such a business. You know what I mean? God's bankers. And like then that is explained also by the amount of music and movies and media made for that population.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's like, but the business has dwindled.
Yeah. Which makes them more desperate.
Yeah. Like so, it's not whatever amount of records. I think this sold like 300,000 albums back when it came out. But now, like, I don't know what the equivalent. Does Daigle sell 300,000 albums? Does she sell millions? You know, like some of the Christian music's biggest pop stars now. I don't think it's like as comparable. But that's also just there's less money in everything now.
There's less money in everything.
Because people are buying music and media and art less, I guess.
Pull off on that.
Listen, physical media is something Caroline and I are equally passionate about.
I think physical media is the way forward. I think people are going back to it.
Listen, I got physical media in the house.
Yeah, and indeed you do. I'm looking at a Cher album.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a gift from a listener, actually.
From a listener?
Yeah. Wait, should we?
This love in my heart. No, okay, we can't. It's February now.
It's February. We're deep into February at this point.
Can't bring that up.
We can't do that. Any other songs, Caroline, that stuck out to you?
I really do love You Put This Love in My Heart. It's just so fun. I also like, it's just, I don't know. It just makes me happy. This love in my heart.
What's different about this guy?
It's fun.
Well,
and then,
let me tell you.
Your Love Broke Through, there's like moments in that. It's kind of like a little sad, like melancholy song or sounding melancholy.
Oh, yeah.
But there's moments where it just like builds or like turns. It's just like, oh, that's so nice. Go like to the middle of it, Kev.
Sure.
More middle.
More mids. Welcome to Good Christian Fun.
Yeah. That's kind of like an ABBA song. I don't know. It's just nice.
Well, melodically, I do think he has like obviously a significant amount of talent.
Yeah,
and so much of this reminds me of Carpenter stuff too from the 1970s and like what so much of the radio was at that time. But this it's the one of the most streamed songs on the album. Your Love Broke Through.
Oh.
The end of it, I wrote down, the end sounds like a 70s sitcom. What does that sound like?
Yeah.
Your Love Broke Through was filmed before a live studio. It feels a little bit like that.
I like Put the Love in My Heart a little bit better. That's like so fun.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of like a dance bop.
It is, yeah.
I can't wait to watch you dance to this one day. When your TikTok pops off with dance videos, and
finally,
this is the first one. Old Man tricking. Rivers number two.
Dude.
You do all the songs from Showboat.
The like staccato way he's singing too. I just think it's so fun. The thing I like about Keith is one, he brings like a lot of energy. He definitely has a point of view. You don't always have to like it. I understand, and so you can latch onto something at least. And he's like, he's just very dynamic and like interesting. And I feel like even just in the music and the arrangement, like there's a lot of effort put in, and it's not like weird half-assed. I know it is a little bit of a knockoff, but like there was effort put in.
It's dynamic.
That's what I feel.
Yeah.
It's dynamic. Yeah. I wish he was dynamic in a way that it was his own.
Well, and they talked about even making this album, the reputation he had before was like, if you go to one of his live shows, he goes off so hard and he's like sweating. And the crowd is like super worked up and stuff. And then when they try to record and they're like, we're not getting it. Like, we're not.
That's what
for
I mean.
Some
I think
reason,
so much of this music needs to be live.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so what they did.
God is a drug.
After they. What's that?
God is a drug.
Well,
he's
100%.
Getting, he's getting hyped up on the word, you know?
Right. This is dope.
What they ended up doing instead of like doing like the overdub thing of like, okay, we're going to record piano and bass, then we'll put in drums and we're going to do this. Then they were like, let's let him sing everything live at the same time and have him sing vocals with the piano.
Cool.
Because they were not doing that before.
And that's how you got him.
It was a little more antiseptic. So that's what kind of brought out the...
Yeah.
And he does little ad-libs where he kind of sings. He talks his lyrics like that, you know, in certain parts. And that's him just like moving with... What did he say in the clip? The spirit that comes out of his mouth every time he opens it.
Yeah. It's very much like... It is a persona, and it is like kind of this old preacher thing that he's like pulling together too. Mm-hmm. And
the fact
like
that he's only 28 years
putting
old,
out, so. Yeah. It's just like definitely you haven't earned that.
Oh, and when he puts this out, he's like, so this is 1977, so he's like 23 or two.
Oh my god,
he's a baby.
He's young.
I'm sort of like a 23-year-old cannot tell me about God,
but that's like
I'm like,
the
what
age
do you even
where you're
know?
Like, you're so.
Sure.
You're so zealous about like anything that you've like now discovered as your own, you
know?
That's
so true.
So you feel that for, and a lot of like Christian artists become enormous in their early 20s because
like
it is when they're like, we got to get out there. We got to get this message out. You know, like people, I can't believe I just found out about this. Like people must not know or else we would all be so enthusiastic.
23-year-olds think that they invented everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like they're so enthusiastic and like it's you're officially departing from whatever your like childhood thinking was and stuff. And so
that's so interesting.
It's exciting, you know, and you
it
feel
is
that
so
from
exciting.
Him. And you can give him a little a slack too, because it's like you were 23 and you thought you invented like Christianity. God. So like, good for you, you know. And like, had he gotten older, I'm sure we would have gotten into like,
I do kind of wish
boring
we had,
music, honestly, but
or,
yeah.
or different. I don't know. I kind of do wish I had an album from him older. Mm-hmm. I wish I could like, I would have loved to know where the music went and what he turned
yeah,
into.
Yeah, as experience like colored his.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have like featured on Olivia Rodrigo's?
No, what or? I mean is I feel like what I is missing from this album, even though it's good, is I feel like there is a lack of a depth or color to it. So I'm like, maybe if he gotten older and he had a broader experience of things, yeah. then it would have infused in the music. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you've seen some lows, you know?
Yeah. So you're looking for more like a fuller spectrum or like, okay, where's the wisdom? Yeah. There's a lot of yeah. passion.
There's a real challenge to your faith. Not yes. just like, oh, I'm, you know, having a bad day or
yeah.
whatever.
Oh, yeah. it's hard to wake up on a Sunday morning. I'm like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's so funny because he does present so bright and ebullient and kind of flamboyant too in like Elton John adjacent ways. And then I was watching this interview with him on the 700 Club and they were just asking him about like, oh, people get saved at your shows and blah, blah. And he was talking about his upbringing and how, you know, him and what his wife and his backgrounds were. And he's so intense. He's not like, yeah, it's kind of a funny. He's like, actually, it's very like stone face. It kind of reminds you of the way, you know, like Fred Rogers would talk outside of the show where he's like, this is true. And it'd be like, whoa, okay. But like, just yeah. like a like laser sharp intensity. And of course, the things he's talking about is like, all right, calm down. Where he's like, well, some people think they're Christians, but they're not. Hmm. And like really getting into, well, they got it from their parents and they think that's what faith is. But faith is like true lordship over your life and stuff.
My
and
faith.
Yeah. And you would think a guy who talks like that wouldn't be like, la-di-di-di-di-di, and like mm-hmm. the guy at the junkyard stomping on a piano. But that's how he found that to be the most, whatever, effective vehicle for what uh-huh. he wanted to communicate or what he wanted to say.
Interesting guy.
In his stuff.
Ellery, you don't know this else, but he was like also forming like a compound at his home.
See, that's sick.
Where like people could like come and like live and whatever. And it was like, they had these kind of grander plans with it. Mm-hmm. There was like a lot, he had like a lot of land out there, which I'm like, could be dark. I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe.
Going on there.
Maybe.
But it was kind of like, we have an open home. If you need help, you know, you can come stay here kind of thing.
That. I actually kind of really fuck with that. I'm sort of like, I see a version of myself that does communal living. You know what I mean? Where I'm
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
In my rabbit hole and just like looking up things about this album. So he did die in, tragically, in a plane crash in 1982. And I found a YouTube video where this guy's like, Keith Green crash, new info on the pilot. So someone's still investigating this.
Keith Green's alive. A brand new video?
42 years ago
or
whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is, you know, I think we're good. I think we're
new
okay.
Information
don't fly
on the pilot.
Private. Aircraft,
I actually really
people.
Agree with that. I really agree
ever.
With that.
Not ever? That we all, I mean, we all get opportunities.
Ever? We all
mean,
get opportunities?
I have it all the time.
Oh, man. Anything else to say about this album, about this man?
Overall, I thought it was fun.
We really didn't talk about him in the same way that we did last time he came up on the show, Caroline. Maybe that's for the best.
What did you say last time?
It wasn't very respectful. It was. It was admirable.
I think in some ways it was the most respectful.
You know what else this reminds me of? Well, we were talking about how Keith, you know, and it was like, you know, his wife kept his legacy going or whatever. And she's probably because she misses a lot of his body, you know, and how awesome
what the
it was.
Hell?
We were speculating, but like in a kind way that they probably loved each other.
Yeah, they had a lot of kids, you know.
They had a lot of kids.
Yeah. I also feel like, isn't that, don't religious people always have a lot of kids?
Oh, often.
Oh,
yeah.
You look like Keith.
Yeah. Sure,
you're built like
you kind of can't help yourself.
But like, isn't that? I feel like there. I actually do. I think because when we watch the clip, I'm like, that's a pervert. Like, there's a lot of sex freak energy in this. No,
exactly.
I mean, so for real, there's real like deviant sexual energy coming off of stuff like this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like low key, like there's a
no,
hum of
high key. We're like, that's like in that sermon or whatever, that clip, he's like basically making love to God with his word. He's like so yeah. like sultry oh, yeah. in it. And if you're like, I can see a woman being who is like, yeah, so attracted to that.
Absolutely.
Like,
this is the legacy in. I feel like that crosses throughout history of CCM is the sexualized nature, the
because
romantic
they have
nature.
Nothing else. And so it's like, if this also, it's like, okay, you don't drink, you don't party, you don't go have fun with your friends. Like, your church is your whole world. you're supposed to love God. The person on stage is embodying God. Obviously, you want to have sex with him. Mm-hmm. That's like the closest you can be to God.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
There's a lot of projection. There's a lot of like, who's that worship leader up there?
Yeah.
On the Sunday morning.
That's why every pastor cheats on his wife.
Every pastor? Wait, no. I know a pastor that didn't cheat on his wife. Honest.
Joel Osteen,
my mentor, the guy. Imagine if I still like texted with him to this day. Like,
I bet you $100 he's cheated on his wife.
Joel? Maybe.
Definitely.
Well, we'll take a poll for our listeners and see what's what.
Yeah. Send in any rumors you guys might have heard.
Dumois, but it's just for pastors.
Just for pastors. But isn't it like famously like pastors are kind of sluts, right?
Well, yeah. Like that is.
It's happened a lot.
It's happened a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's the most kind of sluts. Yeah. The pastor to slut pipeline.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's the most like egregious in the eyes of the public, like the court of public opinion thing. That's the thing that gets highlighted the most.
Oh,
but
I see.
They're also just like the most.
They just have the most access to the community.
They're just like a mess in general, you know? Yeah. Like they act like any other celebrity does.
What's a celebrity? Exactly. Yeah, so I think like you have any sort of other, like unfettered access. And
unaccountability.
Are,
yes. Just like whatever. But
and people are
people
coming
love
to confer
them.
With you.
Oh,
like
sure.
Take extra sessions.
Counseling, exactly. One-on-one. Yeah.
Counseling.
Pretty much like any opportunity you have to like abuse your power like you can as
you
a
can.
Pastor.
And people usually do.
And yeah. Well, often. Yeah.
Often.
Yeah. Caroline and I are both pastors, which is why
right.
we're being
so
a
we're
little
stand
defensive
up for our
right
community
now.
Of sluts.
Yeah. And I've never cheated on my wife. All right. Well, I think it's time to rate the album the way this works, Ellery. We'll give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Thumbs up is a holy toast. That's when we send it all the way to heaven. And the angels say, there they are. The angels got a little shy like, that time. They're like,
we're on.
Is it us? Oh, fuck. We missed our cue. Holy Roast is a thumbs down. We send it to hell where the angels say,
no.
Or if it's like not quite this, not quite that, it's in purgatory, we say that and we call it
the space between.
Caroline, we'll start with you.
It's a toast for me.
It's the toast for me.
It is the toast for me. Keith is like, he's a weird guy and there's a lot that I'm like, maybe not the best, but I also find him really compelling and special and unusual in the like a crop of artists that we discuss all the time. And I really do just like his music probably because I do like Elton John a lot. So it's going to be a toast.
It's going to be a toast. We turn to Ellery.
I think it strikes in the middle, but I have no problem sending it to heaven. Do you know what I mean? We're like, for me,
don't want to pressure you and abuse our power.
I don't think he's barred from the Holy Land, but I do feel... I don't know. It just didn't hit. Like, I don't think that this is an album I will revisit.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, I kind of want to find an album that you would revisit.
And I bet that they exist. I love
a lot of
religious music.
Yeah.
Like those songs I listen to those like at least every week.
I'm gonna like be annoying and start sending you songs.
Please.
Now and be like, what about this?
I think that there are two songs from here that I'm like, okay, I would listen to those again.
Put This Love in My Heart.
Yes. And then what was the other really fun? Oh,
He'll
take care of the rest. I think those are the two I would visit again.
Oh, sure.
But the rest of it just sort of missed me. I felt like it lacked a little bite.
I get that.
There.
Keith Green, lacking a little bite,
no
says
tea.
Ellery
You know
Smith.
What I mean?
No tea. No. We're just here to
no
be.
No teeth.
No tea. Oh.
It is tea.
I thought you said no tea.
No tea. No tea, no shade.
Like, is that the new no cap? Did I miss one?
You're so willing to just go along.
Mishearing
somebody and assuming it's slang. Just because you're so out of the loop.
Out of politeness, yeah. I'll just be like, uh-huh, we all say that. there's one, what I just wanted to highlight one little special moment for me, which is...
Played with our children.
What's the lyric I was looking for? The way he sings Little Boys, I just want to highlight. I want us all to think about this for the rest of the week.
Don't grow up from little boys.
Why don't prophets grow up from little boys?
From little boys.
Nice.
So for that alone, holy toast.
Whoa.
There you go.
Prophets don't grow up from little boys.
But why not?
I think he was saying rhetorically... yeah, they don't grow up for little boys, do they? And he's like, they do. Oh. And I'm a prophet.
Or does he mean like grow up? No prophets are.
Like he's saying all prophets are in a state of arrested development. Like,
no.
No, he's, I think he's saying like, but we all know prophets don't grow up from little boys, right, guys? And he's saying, obviously they do.
Right. Like,
and I was once a little boy, and now I'm a fucking prophet.
Oh, interesting.
I think that's what he was saying. That's why I took it to me.
Well, I guess we can't ask him.
Well, we can pray. We could.
We can always pray.
Caroline, second
what
service, Ouija board.
Yeah.
Keith Green. What were you saying, Ellery?
What does kids do? Are any of his kids in music?
I hope they're listeners of the podcast. I don't, to my knowledge, none of them are in music. But maybe some of them are in podcasting.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But enough about that. Is that a good transition?
And who cares?
Enough about that. All right, Ellery, we're dimming the lights in here. We're lighting the candles. This is true, like Hillsong mosaic energy. We're creating the space and we're turning it into a more worshipful time. On other shows, Ellery, and other podcasts you might do, you might go on there, you might promote your own little projects or plug what you're doing, tell people where they can find you on social media. We don't do that. Those are the games of the world. We lift those things up to the Lord.
Right.
So we lift up our social media handles and what we're working on and where people can find us, etc. And maybe something that you want to lift up in secular culture, the last great thing you watched, that you saw, that you read, that you listened to, etc. And we'll start with Caroline per usual.
You can lift me up to God at Caroline's Farts on Instagram, even TikTok, even. I'm going to lift up a TikTok account I've been really enjoying. It's this guy. He goes by Moles Are Cool, MOLESRCOOL. But the thing I like about him a lot, he's kind of like pro public transit, you know, anti-car dependency or whatever. But he keeps a running account about the Tesla Cybertruck and how bad it is and how hilariously bad it is. And I really enjoy it every time. Like the other day, he shared that you can't even get the Cybertruck dirty, like bugs and stuff. You have to wash it immediately or it will rust because it's stainless steel and Elon didn't want to put a clear coat on it, which is like standard for most cars.
That's awesome.
It's like, so and I cool. saw my first Cybertruck last night as I was driving through downtown
LA. When Nate
LA.
Came home?
Yeah. He said, honey, I did it. Pull the trigger.
We're going to need this for a little Elmo Ely on the way.
He'll keep safe. I'm a huge Cybertruck hater now. So thanks to this account. So I'd say check it out. And he just does a lot of interesting stuff about like big, dumb, oversized trucks. And,
wow.
Anyway, check it out.
Check it out. Those we'll turn cool. it to Ellery. Ellery is what I almost called
it. Ellery.
And that's fine. that is the Southern pronunciation.
Ellery.
I want to lift up my Instagram account. You can find me at Ellery_Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think. What have I been? I feel like I've been sort of in a content hole, not watching or listening or reading anything. I know. I've just been so
zoning
busy.
Out.
Just sort of truly like dissociating, staring at my wall.
She's been, because she's been in this fruitful creative period. It's flowing out of
You're creating.
Yeah. And by creating, I mean working a job I hate. Let me think.
Creating shareholder value.
The most important thing any of us can create for
it
our
is.
Creator.
Thank you. Truly. Thank you, everyone, for contributing.
Truly.
Anytime we do this podcast, we're creating value for God, the ultimate shareholder.
The ultimate shareholder.
Head
that
of the board.
Would be such a good name for him. That's the perfect name for him.
The ultimate shareholder.
The ultimate shareholder.
I'd say Sonny was the ultimate shareholder.
Some do say Sonny was the ultimate shareholder. I have been listening to I've been listening to a fellow comedian's podcast.
I thought you were going to look at your phone and say, I've been listening to music.
Well, I was going to look at my phone and listen to see what podcast I've been listening to lately, because that's sort of all I do right now. But I have a podcast of mine. It's called The Bedtime Podcast. It's Noah Findling and Sydney Steinbro, and they're husband and wife. And I've been listening to podcasts, and it has changed the nature of our friendship, because now I feel like I know too much about them. It's very intimate. And sometimes when they bicker, I'm like, oh my God, that's mom and dad.
That's
but
real.
It's good. It's a really good
I
listen.
Like their podcast.
It's so fun. I listen to it every week.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it comes out.
They record it in bed together and they'll put out like video clips of them just like sitting up in bed with their microphones.
Cute.
Very cute. Well, you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Peloton, OnlyFans, Letterboxd.
What's going on in your OnlyFans lately? Are you creating value for those little shareholders?
Here, I'll give you a preview of what's going on.
Those 20 cents a month. Got to go somewhere.
Tumbleweed goes well. I'll have to... You know what I saw for the first time the other night? I saw Dreamgirls.
So good. Which one did you see?
The
Jennifer Hudson?
Yeah.
Beyonce one?
So good.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what the... I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is amazing.
Welcome. So I'm good. So glad you've seen it.
Music is amazing.
It is amazing. That movie's great. Isn't it funny also to see Beyonce not be the star of the show, like, at all?
When they're like, you can't sing as well as her. And Beyonce's like, fair, that's fair. I'm like, yeah, this is...
But even just, like, as an actor or, like, one of the leads of the movie, she's just, like, dim compared.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of Goldmember. But, yeah. I love Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls.
Go watch Dreamgirls, guys. I'm only 18 years late to the party. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere at patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Why don't you? Ellery, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
Ellery.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having a therapy dog with you. I feel like this has been so...
He's been so zen and bliss this whole time. So yeah.
He loves you. Very happy. That's his blessing. And when his eyes are closed, to be clear, he's praying for you. He's praying for your good. He's praying that you have a good day, that things go well for you this week.
That's when I'm totally good with everybody praying. But when somebody's like, I'm going to pray for you, I'm like, you don't know what to ask for. I'm like, let me give you some specifics if you're going to,
like, where are you going to put that out there?
No, literally. I'm like, what if you ask for something I don't want? What if you pray I get a job? You know what I mean? I'm like, don't put that on me.
That's why Dexter prays for generally good vibes. Because it's like, oh, I think it's good.
Whatever
enough.
She wants.
Yeah. Is what I want.
I pray for her to get everything she might want or need.
There you go. That's a good prayer.
And there's nothing left to say except for, okay, I love you, Emma. Amen. Now watch this drive.
What the hell is that from?
I don't know.
It's from Luke 14, verse 2.
79.
The prophet Emma in the Bible is referred to as such. All right, we'll see you next week on the podcast. Goodbye.
Bye. That was a HeadGum Podcast.